Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Our clinical focus for today is immunity and immune support. And in part one, we talked about how to measure immunity, what some of the theories are about immunity, and some of the lifestyle factors like sleep and exercise and diet that may play a role in shaping our immune response. And so in part two, as I promised, we're going to talk about specific nutrients. We're going to run through a gamut of nutrients that have an impact on immune functioning. And let's start, logically enough, with vitamin A. There are really two types of vitamin A. There's the retinoids, the vitamin A that is preformed. And then there are the carotenoids, which are found in plants, usually. And, well, let's talk first about the retinoids, or retinol. Retinol is very important for supporting natural killer cell activity. And this is actually a big problem in the third world, because children in certain parts of the world, Nepal, Africa, they're very vulnerable to certain types of infections, particularly eye infections. And just a little bit of vitamin A of the retinol kind given every few months in a large dose can be a major public health enhancement. It is so potent that can be given, you know, just some, like a visiting health worker can come to a village and administer vitamin A drops in high concentrations. And it makes a big difference in whether these kids are going to come down sick. It is true that you should eat your fruits and vegetables. Carotenes or carotenoids function as antioxidants, and so they clearly play a role in immunity. Another important nutrient for immunity, we're going to jump from A to Z, is zinc. And zinc, even there are zinc lozenges that you take when you have a cold, which makes sense. There are many studies that show that in areas where there's parts of the world where there's zinc deficiency, that it can be very beneficial to give a little bit of zinc. And very high doses of zinc might be immunosuppressive, so we really don't want to go much above perhaps 150 milligrams of zinc a day. But 30 or 60 or 90, I think, will do a lot to enhance immunity. Selenium, very important in the body's ability to fight cancer, as well as the body's ability to fight off viruses. It's actually been, selenium has sometimes been referred to as a birth control pill for viruses. There was a very remarkable public health triumph in China. They had a disease called Keshan syndrome, where thousands and thousands of people would develop a cardiomyopathy due to a virus. And they didn't know why, in this particular part of China, people were more susceptible to this virus. Well, they did some investigation. They found that the soil from which they consumed plant foods and vegetables, and which the animals consumed as well, so animals, too, were low in selenium in this part of China, and the populace was low in selenium, and they began a program of supplementing selenium in the fertilizers and enhancing the selenium content of the foods. I'm not sure whether they gave selenium pills to the people, but they really turned the corner on this form, this viral disease that affected the heart. Selenium also plays a role against cancer, and it's part of the glutathione peroxidase enzyme, which is a potent antioxidant within the body. It's also been suggested that glutathione may have a role in immunity, and so the best form, oral form, of support for glutathione is to take N-acetylcysteine, and you'll find NAC as part of many formulas for respiratory diseases. I actually designed an immune formula once that had NAC in it, and I think that it's a logical addition to any kind of immune formula. Vitamin D, plays an important role in immunity. It's interesting because vitamin D seems to help autoimmune disease where immunity is excessive. So it actually puts the brake on excessive immunity, but it doesn't suppress immunity dangerously. In fact, it actually helps the white blood cells hunt down and kill bacteria. It helps produce a substance which is a wonderful antimicrobial substance. And so deficiency of vitamin D are definitely associated with vulnerability to infection, and supplementing vitamin D makes sense. And there's a protocol that I use and some of my patients use successfully, is that when we come down with a flu, one of the ways to attenuate the flu is to begin taking high doses of vitamin D for a few days, not too much because you could overdose on vitamin D, but stocking up on vitamin D at the beginning of a viral infection often makes sense. And Dr. Cannell, who is at Dr. John Cannell, who we've interviewed on Intelligent Medicine, and he's got a website, the Vitamin D Council, I think, .org, talks a lot about research on vitamin D and immunity. In fact, what he initially did, his got excited about vitamin D, he was in charge of a psychiatric ward in a hospital, and they were doing some experiments on vitamin D to see if it was going to enhance the mood of patients. And what happened was the patients in the psychiatric ward who got vitamin D when there was a flu epidemic, very few of them came down with the flu, and their symptoms were much milder. And this is actually, Dr. Cannell explains, one of the reasons why he first got so excited about vitamin D many years ago. Vitamin E is also important. It enhances both humoral immunity with the antibodies and cell-mediated immunity that comes from the thymus, and that has to do with natural killer cells. A vitamin E deficiency results in immune suppression. So there are actually some studies that show that elderly subjects may benefit from even higher dosages of vitamin D than younger patients. Vitamin D in one study was given at 6,200 or 800 in national units for about two-thirds of a year. And the group that got 800 international units had a 65% increase in one measurement of their immunity. I think they used that skin test, the energy panel that I talked about in part one. And this would actually increase their likelihood of responding to vaccines. Many elderly patients don't respond to the flu shot or to the Pneumovax or the shingles shot, the so-called Zostavax, because they don't have a good immune system. It takes a good immune system to receive a vaccine, process it, and turn out natural immune response. So vitamin E could be a very, very important nutrient, especially for older patients. Among the B vitamins, the standouts are vitamin B6 or pyridoxine. Pyridoxine deficiency results in depression of immunity. And so clearly that could be a factor. B12 and folic acid. If you are severely deficient in B12 and folic acid, you will have anemia, and that will affect your white blood cells, not just your red cells, but your white blood cells. So the B vitamins could be important, and you know, probably all the B vitamins, thiamine, riboflavin, pantothenic acid, the whole complement of B vitamins could be important to proper immune response. Vitamin C, well, we certainly know a lot about vitamin C and immunity because patients with scurvy have real susceptibility to devastating infections. And there's controversy about the efficacy of vitamin C for colds. I think it is modestly effective for colds. But we use a lot of intravenous vitamin C, and the intravenous vitamin C is particularly helpful for viral diseases, but it's hard to achieve the blood concentrations of vitamin C that we achieve with intravenous dosing simply by taking it orally. Even if you take a vitamin C every half hour, still the blood levels won't be as high as when we give 25 or 35 or 50 grams, that's 50,000 milligrams intravenously. That's a real knockout punch for many viral infections. So vitamin C, I think, has a great deal of utility, both as, you know, a mild preventive, something to maintain immune response, but also as a real targeted therapy to knock out infections. I mean, there's some people, and I think they're irresponsible, they're suggesting, oh, you know, just give those Ebola patients intravenous vitamin C. Well, we don't really know that that's going to be a panacea, and we don't want to make that claim, but, you know, perhaps research should be undertaken to see if that might be beneficial. Probiotics are very, very essential to immune response, because if you don't have the right bacteria in your intestine, your immune system collapses. And we certainly have a lot of people with disrupted microflora due to excess antibiotic use, due to overuse of acid-blocking medication, due to lack of breastfeeding, due to poor quality diets, due to chemicalized foods. We really need to restore our microbiome in order to have optimal immunity. A lot of our immune system resides in our intestine, and the composition of bacteria that communicate with our immune system in our guts has a lot to do with our optimal immune response. So this is going to be a burgeoning area of research, which probiotics are the best for enhancing immunity to a wide variety of disease. I think in the next 10 or 20 years, we're going to see an explosion of research and knowledge in that direction. Among nutraceuticals, one of my favorites is something called AHCC. That's active hexose correlated compound. It's very popular, used in Japan. And it's a polysaccharide which is extracted from mushrooms, or mushrooms or yeast alternatively. And it is highly purified and concentrated to provide a boost to immunity. Now, in Japan, it's actually so popular. I think it's the number one nutraceutical that is sold in Japan. And its use is actually supported by the government as part of their healthcare system, so that virtually every cancer patient receiving conventional cancer care receives AHCC to help their immune system withstand the onslaught of radiation and chemotherapy. These things obviously are immunosuppressive. And so, you know, I think it's very important to think of how can we restore immunity in cancer patients who are being treated with drugs that are inherently immunosuppressive, because ultimately, to conquer cancer, it's not just a matter of killing the cancer cells, it's also a matter of your own immune system being able to do some mop-up and resist the invasion of cancer. So AHCC, very valuable against cancer and against viral infections. And there's actually literature on it in relationship to colds and flus as well. The research performed at I think it was University of Pennsylvania Medical School. Mushrooms. Well, mushroom mycelia contain beneficial polysaccharides that work in a way similar to AHCC, and each type of mushroom has a different cachet in terms of how it works. But that's a whole area in which immune enhancement has been traditionally invoked in traditional Chinese medicine. There's lots of use of medicinal mushrooms in traditional Chinese medicine, in Japanese medicine, in Tibetan medicine. And these are compounds which are biologically active that can be very helpful. And there are many different variants of them in modern use so that we can choose among them. And there's controversy, you know, which to use for which particular conditions, which is best in cancer. Do you use a natural product or do you use a purified derivative? And the different claims go back and forth ad infinitum. I think that's an entirely different subject. We could probably do an entire podcast about medicinal mushrooms and mushroom-like products for immune enhancement. Echinacea certainly belongs in our pantheon of nutrients for immunity. It's perhaps the most widely used Western herb for enhancement of the immune system. And there are two different species used, Echinacea augustifolia and Echinacea purpurea. Both have been shown to exert immune-enhancing effects. And they've studied the different constituents, and, you know, different constituents may be, or several constituents may be responsible for immune activity. Also, these are, polysaccharide compounds that activate the immune system. There's a study in healthy volunteers. Fresh pressed juice of Echinacea purpurea was found to increase the ability of bacteria to track down, the ability of white blood cells, our own defense system, to track down and kill and devour and engulf Candida albicans by 30-40%. This is the medical word for the ability of our white blood cells to literally encircle and engulf invaders is called phagocytosis. So there's a variety of ways in which echinacea is said to work. And, you know, some studies have gone back and forth on, does echinacea work in colds? No, it's worthless. No, it works. No, it, you know, and it's the sort of an infinite number of arguments about that. At this point, I would mention also that one of the ways to enhance immunity is to improve our barriers against bacteria. And in this coming month, I'm going to be doing a podcast on the subject of biofilms. Briefly, what biofilms are mucus layers that form on surfaces of the body, in the nasal passages, in the genital tract, in the gastrointestinal tract, and sometimes deep within the body. And they hide, these mucus layers hide and sequester, these films hide and sequester bacteria and make it harder for our own immune system to fight them off, and maybe even, in some cases, protect the bacteria from antibiotics. And that may be why some people don't respond to antibiotics with conditions like Lyme disease or chronic sinusitis or chronic prostatitis. And so one of the ways that we try to break down biofilms is through the use of something called CLEAR, X-L-E-A-R, which is a xylitol compound. Xylitol has the ability to dissolve biofilms in the nasal passages, and by using CLEAR four times daily in the nasal passages, it's more likely that the bacteria in your nasal passages won't be able to protect themselves in a mucus layer that's called a biofilm that will render it invulnerable to your immune system and to even outside measures like antibiotics. That's one of the reasons why people don't heal, so we use the products like that. We'll talk more later this month with an expert on biofilms about how to break down biofilms so our own immune system can gain the upper hand. Also, colostrum is a way of providing the body with the ability to fight off invaders. Colostrum is the first milk of cows, but also human mothers, that transfers immunity to the baby. And from colostrum, you can extract and purify transfer factor, which is available commercially. You can obtain it over the counter, and it transfers to you the ability to fight off certain infections. And we find that that's very helpful in people who are susceptible to colds, flus, respiratory infections. Their skin surfaces don't seem to have a good ability to repel invaders. Another herb that is particularly effective for immunity is astragalus. And astragalus is used a lot in traditional Chinese medicine. I actually combined astragalus with AHCC in a product called Advanced Immune Support, which I created once for the Vitamin Shop. The root of astragalus is a traditional Chinese medicine used for viral infections. And clinical studies in China have shown it to be effective against the common cold. And research in animals shows that astragalus works by stimulating parts of the immune system, including the ability to phagocytize, in other words, track down, engulf, and kill bacteria and fungi and foreign invaders. And it may also improve T-cell activity. It may increase interferon production. Interferon is one of the ways by which the body fights off infection. And so some of these things that have been used traditionally, we're beginning to discover that they have scientific merit when we discover their specific properties. So astragalus, I think, could be part of an immune enhancement program. Finally, there's something called thymic extract. Now, once again, the thymus is an organ that babies are born with, and it's really quite large within the chest of babies. But then as children mature, become adults, and age, the thymus virtually disappears, which may be one of the reasons why older adults are more prone to cancer and certain infections. They're what is called T-cell immunity, thymus-derived cells, that's why they call them T-cells, may be less robust in the absence of a thymus. And so thymic extracts have been popularized as a way of enhancing T-cell immunity, particularly against viruses and cancer. And there's a product that we use called ProBoost. You can find it at drhoffman.com, as you can find many of the products that I talk about here. Just click on the store. It's a thymic polypeptide that's available in powder form. You dissolve in water, and I give it to patients who are really need very definitive immune support. ProBoost I use for many of my cancer patients, but also sometimes for patients who are prone to viral disorders and can't seem to shake viruses. So, look, there are many more things on the roster of promising immune-enhancing supplements, but there I've given you some that are, I think, key players. And, you know, I want to, just for the sake of brevity and simplicity, I think if we hit on some of these key nutritional agents, we can get a pretty good program of natural immune support. So once again, we hearken back to the debate between Louis Pasteur and Antoine Beauchamp, who said in French, "Le microbe, ce n'est rien, le terrain, c'est tout." Excuse my poor French accent, but what I'm saying there is the microbe is nothing. The terrain is everything. Well, it's not quite that simple, but we want to strengthen the terrain and keep that terrain resistant to whatever virus, cancer, fungi, or bacteria may come our way. And that's the theme of today's clinical focus here on Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks very much for joining us.